Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1, text 51551.
From countertop filtration systems and under-sink reverse osmosis units to purifying showerheads and portable bottles, there is now so many ways to filter your tap water at home. And it's big business too. Some of the more complex solutions can be very, very expensive. But are concerns around the quality of Irish drinking water justified, and do these domestic filtration products offer any meaning? Meaningful protection? I'm joined by Dr. Jenny Lawler of Dublin City University's Water Institute. Good morning, Dr. Lawler. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Irish water, never far from the headlines and controversy for the wastewater treatment plants, but at the other end of what it is they do, the water that they put in our taps, are they generally speaking to be commended for its quality?
I would say so, yes. So if you look at our compliance rates, we're up over 99% compliance with the drinking water regulations around the country for what is under Uisge Éireann, which is about 92 or 93% of all drinking water consumers nationally.
Okay.
So yeah, our compliance is very good generally in Ireland.
And generally speaking, it is the smaller group water schemes where problems like E. coli or Cryptosporidium or whatever it is occur. But if you're on a main supply system, your water is by and large good?
Yes, I would say is the summary. Yeah, we're over 99% compliant typically across the country.
Okay, so are any of these filters, if you have a main supply, needed? Do they add anything to the quality of what you're drinking?
So I would say it depends on where you live. Like our large cities and that kind of thing have really, really excellent drinking water treatment plants. So often whether or not you have a household filter is a personal preference thing. So, you know, a lot of people would say, well, I don't like the taste of my water, or I don't like the smell from my water. And there's a number of reasons for that. So one thing is that we have to chlorinate our water. This is something that's widely done globally, and it's to protect the distribution system from biofilms that can grow on the piping. So the water will be treated to a very high quality in the treatment plant, and then it has to be piped around to the homes. So it's chlorinated to make sure that we don't get these bacteria growing in those pipes and then coming out in our taps. So a lot of people would say, like, oh, I can smell chlorine from my water, so I don't like it. So I want to have a local treatment process at my tap itself. And then some people would also have some other concerns. So some people would say, well, I don't want fluoride in my water. I don't want this. I don't want to have this in my water. So I want a filter for that. You know, so a lot. It's generally a kind of a personal choice whether you feel you want to have it in your household or not. But then if people are on a private well, or they're on a group water scheme, sometimes there is, you know, a genuine reason why they should have it at their tap, you know, for health reasons.
Okay, but let's go back to the main supply and removing that smell of chlorine, which some are more sensitive to than others. Is it possible to just remove the chlorine?
No, you don't get filters that just remove chlorine. So the kind of most basic filter that people will get is something like a jug, like a filter that, you know, you just pour the water into and it kind of slowly filters through it. And that's usually based on some sort of like activated carbon adsorption type technology. So things that are in the water will essentially stick onto the filter, and your water will come out with kind of tastes and odors, and those kind of compounds will typically be removed. And they would be very basic. And the key thing about them is that you have to actually replace the filter quite frequently, like every 3 to 6 months. Otherwise, it's not doing anything for you anymore. And then the next level would be where you have cartridge filters that are plumbed in under your sink typically. So you'll have a portion of your mains water will come in. It'll be diverted through these filters, and then you'll have a separate little tap that you drink from. And they would usually be a bigger capacity than the jugs, but they kind of work on pretty much the same same technology. And they'll take out things like little tiny particles that might be in your water. They'll take out taste, they'll take out odour. And they will typically last a bit longer, but you do always have to get them replaced about once a year. And then the next level up from that would be the reverse osmosis type systems. And they basically remove everything. So they'll remove minerals, they'll remove heavy metals, they'll remove particles, they'll remove all sorts of things. But they also typically need to remineralize as well for taste because they've removed so much.
I was just going to say, okay, there's an awful lot to go over there. Let's just begin at the end. The reverse osmosis. So when you're basically drinking distilled water, if you didn't add minerals into it again, there was some fears, wasn't there, that it could end up harming you because it would suck minerals you need out of your body on as the water passes through you.
Yeah, so modern units now, they'll always have a remineralization step. So it just passes the water through a block that'll put some salts back into it. But yes, I mean, distilled water, Oro water isn't distilled water, but it has had the salts removed. You know, it can be a bit corrosive and it's not great to drink Oro water that hasn't been remineralized. But the modern home units that you get, they'll typically have a remineralization block with them. And I would definitely recommend that. But I would say Oro is typically overkill for our mains water. Like, people generally don't need that. And it's quite wasteful for water. So for every litre of water that you take out of the tap from an Oro system, you're wasting somewhere between, you know, 3 to 8 litres of water. You just put that back out to the drain. That's like the reject water. And it's really good quality water that we're being sent. Okay. So I would say an Oro unit, typically it's totally overkill. We don't need it.
You mentioned there the attention that you need to pay to any filtration system that sits under your sink throughout the course of the year. Can they become a public health hazard if you don't look after them, if you don't keep them clean?
Yes, so they actually can. So these kind of carbon filters, they can actually end up, you can grow bacteria on them, which then comes straight out of your tap. So they really, really do have to be replaced as per the manufacturer recommendation, or even more frequently if you start noticing a taste off them, for example. Yeah, you really have to be careful of that. So anyone that just leaves their filter and ignores it and, you know, uses it year on year without having it replaced, it's not a good idea.
There's a lot of people asking about water softening systems on 51551. Rory's question is typical. He says, what about water softening systems using salt in houses with very hard water? Should this system be installed at the water source coming into the home? Is it okay to drink this softened water?
So water softening, what that does is it's designed to remove hardness. So hardness is where you have calcium and magnesium ions in the water. And what they basically do is they kind of swap out those ions in an ion exchange resin. It's what it usually does, and it kind of swaps them out. It's not to purify the water in any way or anything like that. It's basically to kind of protect your appliances, like your kettle and your shower and stuff like that. Yes, there's no issue really with drinking that water. There's no impact on the drinking water safety. But it's to solve a different problem. It's to remove those kind of hardness ions. It's not related to the purity of your water, essentially.
You mentioned fluoridation earlier on. I don't want to drag you into culture wars or conspiracy stuff, but there was an awful lot of talk in recent years about about fluoride being unnecessary. In the Water Institute in DCU, are you convinced that this is actually a very important public health initiative or not?
So, I mean, fluoridation has been really common for, you know, 40 or 50 years when we maybe had worse dental care and when fluoridated toothpaste wasn't widely available. There have been a lot of lobbies in terms of trying to remove fluoridation. It's basically a mass medication of the public. And the HSE has reduced the fluoride level that is delivered in our drinking water. So the HSE is open to taking the latest science on these things into account. But I would say that, you know, this is something as well that will continue to be taken under advisement as the science changes. You know, but there is options there for people that decide that they don't want fluoridated water. They can install a filter that will remove fluoride under their sink. It's a specialist
filter. But is there
filter.
Any evidence it's doing anybody any harm?
Well, there's evidence on both sides that it has positives and potential negatives. Okay. So the HSE would be taking all of that under advisement.
I have seen reports from the UK about the vast increase in microplastics present in soil and then passing into water courses because we're spreading the sludge from wastewater treatment plants on the land. That's something that I think 98% of all of the sludge that comes from wastewater gets treated that way in this country. Are you worried about the increased presence of microplastics in water?
Yeah, so, I mean, globally, we are worried about the presence of microplastics and probably even more critically, nanoplastics in the environment, not just in drinking water. So it's widely accepted that humans are now ubiquitously exposed to micro and nanoplastics in our food, in our drinking water, in the air. You know, it's been found in all sorts of human samples at this point in time. However, I wouldn't be specifically more concerned about tap water versus bottled water, because the research is that actually when samples are compared and taken from mains delivered water versus bottled water, there's actually usually more micro and nanoplastics in the bottled water than there is in the tap water. Yeah.
If you were worried about this, putting a filter in, would putting a filter in be overkill again, Jenny?
Well, if it's, you know, so at the moment, we don't legislate at all for things like micro nanoplastics. That is coming. It's expected to be in towards 2027. But probably a lot of it won't come from the drinking water treatment plants. It'll come from, you know, somewhere within the distribution system, for example. So, we're going to have to wait and see how that pans out as we move towards regulation on it towards 2027.
Watch this space. Dr. Jenny Lawler of DCU Water Institute, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Today on RTE Radio 1.